Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
It's CEO Day here on Kaya Biz, and I say that because we will be speaking to a large number of representatives of corporate businesses in South Africa that are listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Tonight, though, we start off by speaking to the Group Financial Director of APSA, Dion Raju, to talk us through the business's numbers, managing to report a 17% rise in headline earnings per share. That despite a tough operating environment in South Africa. Credit loss ratio has also improved to 100 basis points and also seeing significant levels of growth when it comes to operating costs. Return on equity also moving from 14% to 14.8, a critical metric when it comes to measuring the performance of a bank. Dion, such a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so much for your time, sir.
Good evening, Gugu, and nice to speak to you again, and good evening to your listeners.
Lovely to speak to you and excited to touch base with you. And I guess for many of us, you know, who have been observing your numbers, this really does show a significant level of improvement when it comes to your headline earnings per share, but more so where the growth has come from, especially when we take a look at your Pan-African operations.
Yeah, absolutely, Gugu. We're very pleased that some of the measures we put into place middle of last year certainly is delivering results. You know, South Africa was up 19%. Our businesses outside South Africa up 13%. We're certainly seeing the benefit of a diversified franchise and has been very supportive for our ROE growth in the first half. So it's nice early signs, nice momentum. And certainly as we get a new CEO in, it's good foundations for him to work off.
100%. You're quite right. Kenny Fihla, having recently been appointed as Group CEO of the business, and we look forward to seeing his contribution going forward. But let's continue just to have a quick reflection on the various business units as well as their performance. For us as South African customers, personal and private banking certainly hits close to home because it helps us understand our financial behaviors. If you could characterize this, what do the numbers reveal around credit loss and efficiencies just in terms of our adequate management of finances, but also demand for credit?
Yeah. Look, in the retail business in South Africa, demand for credit was low, aligned with the economic environment that we saw very low GDP growth in the first half. What was pleasing, though, was that impairments was 14% lower. So that starts to tell you that at least the financial health of consumers is starting to improve. We've certainly provided a lot of support to customers with restructuring of payments or assisted sales as we try to help them get through a very tough economic period where there was high inflation, high interest rates. But just a little bit of stabilization on that has allowed people's finances to catch up and for them to adjust their lifestyles to accommodate, you know, their debt levels. So we're certainly seeing that now coming through in the impairment numbers, a lot lower delinquencies from our retail customers, but growth, serious growth still to come back. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened yet.
Mm. And I think that's important, as you say, because the outlook for lower interest rates is certainly working in your favor. I'm just keen to understand, in terms of the increased discipline, is this as a result of stricter lending criteria or just consumers exercising better financial discipline?
Yeah, look, I think it's a combination of both. You know, we certainly, you know, as a bank, we have to be prudent in how we lend, and we have to make sure ultimately that our customer can afford it and doesn't run into trouble. You know, that's the worst thing that they can do. So in terms of that, you know, that's how when I say that the growth was low, it was because even though there may have been people that demanded credit, they couldn't afford it in this particular time. You know, the housing market, you know, the vehicle and asset finance market, all very, you know, low to mid single digit growth. So still very muted growth. And that's a combination of affordability and ability to borrow, mm-hmm. You know, in combination with, you know, job creation and, you know, some of these other measures.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I'm quite intrigued as well, just if you could pepper the outcomes that we see from CIB, Corporate and Investment Banking, again, seeing significant growth there. Headline earnings increasing by 10%. So clearly there's something working in your secret sauce here. And let's perhaps just position that with your rest of Africa operations.
Yeah, CIB business runs a very strong pan-African model. So they fully integrated. You know, we want to be able to support clients whether they're based in South Africa and want to go into the continent. We have representative offices around the world, so foreign investors coming into Africa. So connecting the global trade flows into Africa has certainly been very powerful for that business. And has certainly seen significant growth, not just this year, but over the last few years. And that's been a powerful secret sauce, you know, to CIB's success, even in tough economic environments.
Exactly. And at least there is an alleviation of some of the pressure that we see from a macroeconomic point of view, given the markets that you operate in. Maybe let's lean into that a little further, especially when it comes to growth across the rest of the continent. Some of your peers have actually been scaling back from these markets, namely the likes of Nedbank. But this is where you see some opportunity. And this messaging has been underscored by Kenny Fihla, the recently incoming CEO. I'm quite keen to understand where the growth comes from and what underpins this particular strategy for Absa going forward.
Yeah, Google, you know, the underlying environments, the GDP growth is 4.8%. That's what we expect. So that compares to South Africa at 0.9%. So certainly the overall economies we're operating in are growing much faster than South Africa. Secondly, banking penetration is still very low. So there's significant opportunities to continue to grow market share and scale. And thirdly, the capital markets are still underdeveloped. So there's great opportunity to help build the capital markets. But at the same time, there's opportunities in that where margins are appropriate and there's money to be made. So as we look at our businesses outside South Africa, Ghana was an extremely strong performer for us in the half in West Africa. East Africa has also performed very well. We've got solid businesses in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania. You know, we've had some businesses that that are finding a tougher environment, like Mozambique and Botswana, mm-hmm. given their macroeconomic conditions. But that's the value of a diversified portfolio. You know, some will do well, some may not do so well, but overall, you move in the right direction. And like you said, Kenny comes with pedigree around running an even bigger Pan-Africa franchise. And we really, you know, have been benefiting from his insights into that and into that model.
Got you. We look forward to seeing how that does contribute to the new target for ROE, perhaps going back to levels above 16%, which I do see as a note that's been mentioned in your numbers. But before I let you go, I do want to deep dive into a key theme that has become so much more prominent for us living in a digital age, and that's cybersecurity, your investment into IT. And I understand you can't give away too much of your secret sauce here because we never know who's listening and hackers are on a job 24/7. But I'm quite intrigued just to understand, you know, some of the nuances that you are investing in as a bank to heighten the levels of cybersecurity, but also increase awareness from us as South Africans, customers who typically do struggle and are still challenged by increasing levels of financial fraud.
No, absolutely, Google. You know, one of the benefits of digitization and customers being able to interact in a digital way is certainly customer experience, speed. You don't have to go into branches. You can do banking from anywhere. But with that has come this increased risk of fraud, particularly where fraudsters are able to get the keys to the safe, which actually sit with the customer. And ultimately, that's where they target. You know, they pretend to be the bank. They typically, you know, put fear into customers. They target. You know, customers that are not that digitally savvy, et cetera, et cetera. So they've certainly become very smart in how they can extract, you know, proceeds from a more digital environment. Given that, we have invested significant amounts of money. It's one of our largest investments have been in cybersecurity. We work with some of the top firms globally to be able to put cybersecurity defenses down. And they have advanced tools. And these tools involve data analytics, monitoring of behavior, picking up patterns of behavior that is not according to the norm, you know, normal spending patterns, normal payment patterns. And immediately we pick up those spikes. You know, we are contacting customers who are saying, hey, is this you? Are you conducting this? You know, or, you know, there might be something going on in your account. So we try to be very proactive around it. But despite all of this, you know, fraudsters are very good at tricking unsuspecting customers. And afterwards, customers, you know, are so traumatized by that experience, you know. So we have to be really empathetic and help customers get through this. This is a very traumatic experience for anyone. So, you know, the customer empathy, helping them get through this, supporting to recover their funds, you know, all of this is part of a process to try to manage, you know, what is becoming an increasingly, as much as a more convenient world, it's becoming dangerous in a different way.
Yeah, very true. 8.2 billion rand that you've invested there in IT-related spend in driving digital capabilities for our security as well. Dion, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. We always never have enough time, but looking forward to seeing more of these developments and growth objectives at the bank going forward under the leadership of your colleague, Mr. Kenny Fihla.
Thank you, Gugu. Lovely to speak to you and your listeners again. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you so much. That's Dion Raju, who's the Group Financial Director at APSA, giving us an overview of the company's results so far today. Uptick in the profit, great investment as well that we do see when it comes to IT network infrastructure, which really benefits us as consumers. And of course, clear targets being set. Growth across the rest of the continent is where the drivers will be returning. And improving return on equity to levels of around 16% in the next 2 years.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.